Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
To the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson, it's Hump Day with Swanee and friends, Samantha Richards and Dane Swan. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Good morning.
Are you on your own podcast again?
Who?
Swanee and Fred. Well, you.
It's busy.
I assume so, unless I'm dreaming.
It's just a dream.
So maybe, but.
We had a lot of correspondence about how come you were too busy on Sunday, and I just said, well, Sportsbet obviously had you, and there's only so much a man can do in one day.
Absolutely.
I was asleep most of the day.
I bet you're really – were you asleep because you were really looking forward to it? You wanted to save all your positive energy because it's your favourite thing to do?
Yeah, that's one way to spin it, Samantha, yeah.
I've got an email here from Ty. It says, where's the merch I bought?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you just have to come get it.
So have you signed it?
Unfortunately, I have.
Good.
Well, that's
work.
Good of you.
Well done.
That's what I did all day. That's what I did Sunday. It took me about 7 hours.
So how'd you go with sports bet? I actually got an email, a text saying that you were censored at one stage, but you sent out a tweet saying that you were censored.
Yeah. Well, we did. I wasn't allowed to go into their offices because obviously we're in jail. So I just had to – so three or four of us just jumped on the Zoom, the boys from Sportsbet, and we just pretty much did it very similar to this, but just with the Brownlow one. I, for legal reasons, actually can't have a control of their Twitter account, so they actually have to type it. So that's why
obviously
just sit on the air and big now because – Sportsbet are the official part. I think they're the official gambling partners of the AFL, or they're, you know, the official partners of the AFL. There's a lot more rules and regulations around what you can and can't say now about the AFL, I'm assuming. So, yeah, there's a lot of zingers that went fucking down the toilet, unfortunately. So, it's not like it was when I first started in 2016 or 2017, but yeah, you obviously have to be a little bit more careful of what I'm allowed to say and what subjects I'm allowed to talk about, or take the piss out of. But yeah, I don't know if it went down well or not. I'm not sure how the response was. I wasn't paying attention because I wasn't in the offices. So, but yeah, it was pretty cruisy.
Did you do law at school, Sam?
Say that one more time.
Did you do law at school? Legal?
No, I didn't. No.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't huge at Caulfield Tech, but I can't remember anything that's saying that Dane Swan can't do something as a clause.
I don't remember it being in there, but I feel like it would be wise. Imagine giving Dane Swan free rein and full access to your account.
She said for legal reasons.
Goodness me.
It was a bit that went missing, but that's is what it is, isn't it? What can you do?
I really do enjoy you on Twitter, Dane. I don't know if I've said this before, but I don't follow many accounts. I guess you follow the news accounts for the updates. You follow, you know, a few celebrities that you like to, you know, stay in touch with. But I really enjoy following Dame because sometimes if I don't have the capacity to watch a football game or watch the Brownlow, or if I've got something else on, all I need to do is just check in spasmodically with what is being posted by Dane Swan, and I feel like I'm up to date in a far more entertaining way. So we actually started watching the Brownlow, and I feel like most people followed this suit, then went on to watch something else and just came back when it was a couple of rounds to go, because it does go for a long time. And all I needed to do was just keep my phone nearby and keep in touch with Dane's tweets, and I knew exactly what was going on, and I was far more entertained than I would have been watching the whole count.
Mm. It does go for a long time.
It does. Oh, my God.
Like, I don't know, maybe for TV rights I need to fill it out for, like, so many hours, but there's a couple of things on there. It's like, why on earth is this doing on the telly, or why are they doing this, or why are they doing a 3-minute filler on how the Brownlow was made, or why is there so many kids on it, or something? You know what I mean? Like, we all love kids, but, you know.
So I get the kids one, right? That's NAB, okay? So NAB's a sponsorship, nothing to nothing. Yep, okay. Exactly. But make you of the Brownlow. And look, the easiest thing in the world is to bag, and I stay in my lane in general. In other words, I don't know what it's like to play good footy. I've done some media. I've done some shit media too. That was the laziest coverage I've ever seen in my life. And I heard some bozos yesterday saying, well, there were no cringe moments. So it was good coverage. No, the idea is to actually put yourself out there, take some risks, and may entertain people a little bit, surely, rather than just reams of stats and boring shit.
Well, that's my job, Ralph. So if they didn't do that, I'd be out of a job.
That's exactly where I was going from. The entertainment was on Twitter. If you didn't have it on you and Titus and others, you just missed out on stuff because there was nothing on TV. Now, so I'm constructive. Why wasn't Alistair Clarkson part of the coverage? Why was it on? It was on Fox Footy last night. You'd make sure you'd say, "Well, Alistair Clarkson's available. We're going to do something with him."
I would imagine the paycheck was probably the reason.
Well, make the juice worth the squeeze.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a long night. But I know, especially on a Sunday night, like, where most people would be hungover or
on a normal environment.
Yeah, just doing a lot of Zoom parties going on at the moment. Yeah, they're all the rage.
Now, Dane, I know that you know that I'm always looking out for you and always looking for a job for you, and I think I have found one. I think that obviously Bruce wasn't hosting this year for the first year, which is, the first year since I can remember, which was a sad state of affairs, but Basil did an okay job. But I think that when they bring it back to Melbourne, would you be up for this, Dane? You know, when you watch like the Oscars or the Emmys, they always have two, and there's always one serious person that reads the awards, and then there's the person that's on the side that's a little bit more lighthearted and entertaining. Do you think that you could co-host the Brownlow with Bruce McAvaney? He can give us the stats and the series, and you can break it down for the people. What do you reckon?
I think Bruce is done, isn't he? He's done with footy.
He's done with footy, but he might, you never know. He may come back.
What about Hamish? Would you join Hamish, Dane, to put some entertainment?
It would be tough because I'm signed with Sportsbet. So the main thing of the year Sportsbet allowed me to do is that. So,
But if Channel the juice was worth the squeeze,
have to be a big glass of orange juice.
I think it'd be entertaining. They need some more balance. It would bring something more to the night.
I've seen that for the front bar. Well, I don't know why the front bar don't do it.
That's what I'm saying.
They should have had a very, very good.
They should have had a segment on the Brownlow to say, here's the front bar boys, take on the Brownlow year. That's an example. They've got talented people there, but it was just such boring.
The Heater and Daisy show. Oh, no, they probably scratched that.
They put that on.
All right.
Was that the bit that you recorded for them last week?
Yeah. Well, went for about 20 minutes. I don't know. So I imagine their make-believe show, they probably put it on somewhere a bit longer than that. But, But out of all the, it's amazing, out of all the unbelievable talent Channel 7 have on AFL, Heath Shaw and Dale Thomas are the two that get the biggest run. Can you believe
Maybe
that?
Maybe you've got to start believing them, Dave. I do not know
what photos they've got of what people. But
doing what?
Exactly. I don't know what, but whatever it is, it's working. Because they keep getting gigs.
Who do we need to pitch this to, Ralph? Because something needs to change. And Dane is available for a good glass of OJ.
No, but so the difference is, though, like when you're doing a show, people go, this is a good show, I'll watch it, or this is a shit show, I won't watch it. But where you've got the luxury with the Brownlow is that people tolerate shit because we want to see who wins the Brownlow.
Right.
So we sit through 3.5 hours of the most tedious TV of all time, and then the ratings come out. The ratings are huge, and Channel 7 go, fuck, we're good.
Yeah.
They're not.
Half the players look like they're bloody chained up or they're
hot. Didn't the Melbourne boys look like they were enjoying it?
Look like they're in a bloody roast ceremony. Like they're bloody going to cut one at each ad break. They're all forced to stand up. Right, it was fucking.
Did Tom Mitchell slip a sly one through?
With the alcohol or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, good on him.
Didn't they backpedal on that one?
I missed it. Enlighten me.
So he said, well, it's meant to be booze free, right. But we've got the Eskies full out the back of the boot. Along those lines.
Well, you have to. You can't sit there all night for that long and not have a beer. But how are they allowed to be all in a room together and the average punter can't? They're all in a room together, all the Melbourne people, weren't they? Look.
I would assume being part of the AFL bubble might be part of it, I'd guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how come they're not allowed to drink? They're not playing anymore. Oh, Dane. Okay. Do you want a moment?
Pardon?
Would you like a moment?
Can we go back a bit to when Sam was asking why Dane's not on mainstream TV?
Could you imagine that? Could you imagine the Brownlow intro music comes in and everyone's getting seated and there's a buzz in the room and it's really exciting and Hamish takes the stage and then all of a sudden through the PA you hear this. Sorry, just.
The pollen's high around Stonington today. Did you not see the.
No, I haven't seen the pollen index, to be honest.
Yeah.
They would want to have a HEPA pollen filter going through the Crown Palladium if you're going to be hosting them, perhaps.
That's right. But I guess, knock it out, yeah. Yeah, it's going to take a pollen thing.
Are we attending to the dog or the boy at the moment?
The Demizen.
Oh, Demizen. Getting on some Demizen. I reckon we start a petition and get it signed and get some change happening on the Brownlow.
I don't know. Yeah, it's what it is. Well, I've done like 6 years in a row now, so.
What is happening?
What?
Oh, everyone at home, I apologise. I know we don't apologise for much.
Remember when Shane Wallard asked if we did this in one take, Sam?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Taking the Allergan hay fever tablet, not a fucking ecstasy tablet. I don't know why it's so. Wow.
Anyway,
I've just woken up. The pollen's high. I'm just bloody get myself together. The weather's shit.
Thank you. It is.
I'm locked down for another 6 months. The world's. Melbourne's fucked.
Yeah, not the world. Melbourne is fucked.
Mad.
Anyway, say something relevant about your new fellow Brownlow medalist.
Shane Woden, how did it go?
Well, we'll get to Woden, but about Ollie Wines as a winner.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Pretty good.
Yep.
Come on.
What do you want me to say? He's good on it. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Dane.
He stormed home.
There was some money to be picked up off the ground after round 20.
No, yeah.
It was $1.30.
Yeah.
It should have been $1.01.
About halfway when he's like $2.50, he should have been $1.30.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when we see all the green ticks and obviously the sports where they're like, he's, you know, because we're doing the thing on the ads, like, he's 7 votes in front of where he's meant to be or he's,
right.
He was meant to get votes there, so you knew. But
there was a truckload before the vote, just before the vote, too.
Him.
For him.
Yeah. Even Bonapelli, obviously, was probably all of them were well deserved, you know. But they all had good years, obviously, because you can't not have a good year and win the Brownlow. But how did you go? I just had a couple of multis, and who ruined me? Chook Miller didn't get over 23.5. That wasn't fun. And Steele didn't get over 28.5 or something. They were the only two that cost me.
Mm. 5 minutes before I realised I hadn't had a bet, so I just had 30 on the bottom of the pilly. That was my huge result. I knew he was. It was like being on a leader that was six in front of the 200. You knew it was stuffed.
Yeah.
wasn't going to pay for the groceries. Anyway,
tough for him because the camera's on him because he's bleeding, and in the back of his head he goes, "Well, I know I'm not can't win this," and they'll also have to talk about it because he's in front, he might win one day, but it sucks when you have a really good year and you win like a lot of stuff, and then it's like, will you be able to have such a good year again? Because you might get like 34, 35 votes or something. I had the record for 34 for like a year. Then like Dangerfield had 35.
Pick that up, Sam, please.
Then like Dusty and now him have got 36. So what? Three people in fucking 130 years have had more than votes than that, and they just happened to have it in the same year that those boys didn't win the Brownlow. But you know what? It is what it is.
If you win, every now and then I trick you into giving some footy insight. So can you please explain to me why? Away from the boring argument every year about it's a midfielder's medal, but why is it dominated by midfielders, yet usually the game is won or lost by key position players?
Great question.
If they're on fire. So in other words, if you could have 35 in the losing side easy, but you can't kick 8, you very rarely kick 8 in the losing side nowadays.
But if they're on fire, like how many, if you're kicking 8 a game, you're winning the Brownlow.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
Well, so it's consistency. Well, you might kick. Like Carey, Buddy, like all the Carey was favourite for the Brownlow. What? Just asking me to tell you about 7 times.
So, I've got him on a list here for
different. It's because they're not as consistent, and just whether you like it or not, they can't be as consistent because if they kicked 8 every week, they would have kicked 180.
Yeah.
Or 180. I reckon they're winning the Brownlow if you've kicked 8 a game.
Was it Taylor? Who was that GWS boy who, I say boy because I'm an alpha, but who stopped Hawkins, and he was easily the most dominant player or most important player in the game, but he didn't get a vote that day, for instance.
Yeah, backs are a bit harder.
Yeah.
Well, I guess spoils and that, and it's just people catch midfielders' eyes more because they're around the ball more. I think that's just the obvious reason. You're around it more, you have probably what's the term to have more influence on the game because you're involved in it all the time and you're not reliant on someone kicking you the ball or someone kicking the ball at you.
So, Sam, sorry, go
on. Of course they're better, key forwards. Is Buddy good enough to have won a Brownlow? Clearly. Well, is Carey, Lee Matthews, Ablett, are they good enough to win Brownlow? Well, obviously they're the best players who've ever played the game, but we all just know that when you're not as consistent, you can't have. If a forward had 15 marks and kicked 5 or 6 every week, well, it would be the best season of all time and you would win the Brownlow. But, yeah, you might kick 50 4 or 5 games where you kick 5 or 6 and you're only getting, that's only 12, 15 votes.
I actually reckon now, and being old enough to remember this, that Lee Matthews would win a Brownlow nowadays playing exactly the same situation. The difference was back then umpires could vote anonymously. In other words, you'd say 3 votes and you wouldn't know which game he was given 3 votes and so forth. So the scrutiny now on umpires has put more pressure on. I reckon back then they used to say, "Oh well, he swore at me or whatever," and used to penalise players for the way they might have gone about it, as opposed to what they actually did on field.
And I think the other thing is, umpires are human.
Yeah, and that's what I mean.
And the other thing is, people complain about the midfielders award as the Brownlow and stuff like that, but you look at all the other media awards. Look at all the coaches' top 10s. Look at the media 3-2-1s. All the midfielders won them too. And they write it. And umpires read the papers. They catch the news. They listen to talkback radio. They're like the rest of us. And if Mark and Bontempelli's been shoved down your throat for a month saying like he's the next Dustin Martin or it's creeping into their psyche and go, fuck, he was actually very good. He's another 3, you know what I mean?
And
some bloke full back who no one's ever heard of. Like, I don't even. The umpires come back in and go, "Who was number 12 again?" but fucking Ollie winds it once again. You're in your brain, and when you're an umpire, you're around the ball so much, you see them all the time. You see them getting the ball and kicking goals, and so it is what it is. It's I don't know why people have the same complaint every year that it's a Mifflin. It is. It's where all the best players play.
Just as another a periphery item from it, but how many people in the world do you think at the age of 45 could look good as Ben Cousins does today if they'd done everything perfectly in their life? Yeah,
wow. I know. Well, hopefully he's going very well. He looks good, doesn't he?
Does look good.
Absolutely.
Scrubs up all right, old Ben? Yes?
What's that?
He scrubs up all right, Ben, doesn't he?
It's true.
Yeah, so hopefully he's back on track and, yeah, you know, there's bright futures ahead of him.
Let's hope so. Sam, is Shane Wywoden one of the nicest people you've ever spoken to?
Oh, that's the first thing I texted you afterwards, wasn't it, Ralph? He was such a nice guy. Ralph and I obviously spent some time talking to him beforehand, but I got on the phone a little bit before Ralph as well, and it's always interesting when I don't know the person, you kind of got to make small talk, and he was one of the easiest, loveliest people to chat to. And, Dane, you were almost out of a job for a little bit there.
Yeah, well, if he's happy to sign all the merch, he can fucking have it.
So I did ask him that, from what I knew of him from his Melbourne days, as me being the hanger-on, he never struck me as like a Rat Pack type of guy. No. And he did say he was a bit more, I think he said Nathan Buckley, Paul Mercurio, yeah, Jimmy Clement than you guys. That would be fair to say, wouldn't it?
That's a fair assumption, Ralph, yeah. Yep. I think so.
But he accidentally said that Mick gave him the arse, and we had to say that's not how you actually refer to being given the flick.
It's a required player, was it?
It was a required player, absolutely. But he said that every year him and Dee get an interstate trip to the Brownlow Medal on the AFL. Mm. Come to Melbourne.
Yeah, he lived in WA, does he?
Mm.
He lived in WA now. Right. He was living in Brisbane for a few years when he was coaching. Here's my question. How come the AFL didn't make an effort to get you to Perth?
That's a great question.
Man, I still think about that myself.
Redirect your anger from Daniel Andrews to Gil McLaughlin.
I'll redirect it at anyone. Yeah, I'm happy to do that.
Would you have done 2 weeks quarantine though, Dane?
Like I said, it depends how juicy the juice was.
juicy?
No, it'd be tough. Mm.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, it'd be tough. But knowing that we won't be out of lockdown for another, what, six weeks, something like that.
Mm.
Probably. Like, the family could go there for 2 weeks, go to Darwin or something and do a week and actually, you know, walk around the compound and do that. Probably. I would have had to have thought about it.
Speaking of the Jews, so there's talk of, you know, why wasn't the grand final last week? Why was there a bye between weeks? Glenn Jakovich said, no, it was good to have 2 weeks between. Why do you think Glenn Jakovich was saying it was good to have 2 weeks built up to the grand final? Oh,
absolutely.
It
should be three.
He's a lot of people to talk to.
Exactly. He enjoys that too, that side of football. So, listen, I don't, now that the grand final week's here, I don't mind it. Like, we had the rugby on the weekend, so just in lockdown it stretches out another week, you know, something to do.
Yeah.
So got a big Saturday for everyone at home. Beauty. Storms, 4 o'clock. And then the
best horse in Australia is running Saturday too.
Which one?
Zaki.
Yeah.
Down, superstar.
Write that down.
Yeah, oh well, people who do follow racing know what it is, so it's no. $1.40, I think it is. By the way, so it's 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning, wherever, even though it's Wednesday somewhere in the world. Mm. We've done it, Dano. We've done it.
What?
We've broken the 600 mark.
600 what?
Victoria, 603 new cases.
Ah. Okay.
We are chasing you, sir.
I think you're the only person in Melbourne who now checks those stats.
Yeah, we don't check them.
I used to wake up and go, oh, surely we're going down. We're going to be able to lock in. But now it's just like, fuck it. The more the better. So, because the more they have, the people will probably go, oh, shit, we do need to get vaccinated.
Your opinion, Ralph, why are people in Sydney in particular still, like, getting tested? As in, obviously they're doing their bit for the community, whatever the fucking buzzwords are around it. But if they're not even checking numbers or chasing a numbers target, it's just about vaccines for them. Once, like, they're getting, you know, 1,000 a day, why are we still checking their numbers? If it's completely irrelevant, why are people still going out getting tested and checking numbers?
No,
they're still saying the numbers.
Yeah, they are still saying them, but they're irrelevant, as in, like, doesn't matter. Like,
well, they're technically irrelevant
to their changes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the same here?
Yes. Yes. In that respect, they're both the same. They've got more freedoms for 70%, 80%, but in reality, both states are now saying it depends on how many people get vaccinated and how quickly they do it. Let's hope it's fast. So, anyway. So, you mentioned Darwin and giving back. Are you giving back in Darwin? What's going on there?
Well, a lot to be. Once again.
That you're playing footy.
Yeah, as I said, well, I'd like to be, but once again, I don't know if I'll ever be able to get up there.
Right. Well, this is a crucial service for the community. Surely the highest level of government
absolutely
is going to get involved.
Absolutely.
Are they Liberal or Labor up there?
Oh, I don't actually know.
Well, hopefully they're not there.
You might have burned a bridge or two.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, has there actually been any talk of borders? It's been a long weekend.
I can understand. I know that Perth borders were planning to stay shut until next year, and then there was a whisper around the weekend that he's keeping them closed till Easter.
Yeah, Perth's a different country. So
cut them off and let them float off.
WA part of Australia. But the Darwin thing, well, yeah, I was planning on it, but I legitimately don't know if I'll be able to.
Power, hopefully that'll help.
Fingers crossed.
But sure, is it 80%? Didn't they say 80% countries open?
My brain's not practical about it at all.
I think that's the plan, but I think there are a couple of premiers that are now backing down from the plan, which is the problem.
Okay.
So I've got a question for you. Mm. Who is Jared Wade?
Jared Wade.
W-A-D-E.
Am I meant to know? Because I don't think I do.
Well, it's not many degrees of separation from you.
American singer?
Yeah, so it doesn't ring a bell? He's Collingwood's new high-performance manager.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, so Brendan Bolt is the director of coaching. Justin Leppich, head of strategy. They're running out of roles. That's what I'm concerned for you.
Mm.
I'm also concerned for myself.
He wants head of culture anyway.
Yeah, I haven't been consulted on many of these decisions, but from the outside, it looks like they're making some pretty good hires, doesn't it?
It does. What's your read so far?
Yeah, I think isn't it coaching ones? I think they're putting some pretty good people around Fly. I'd assume he's good mates with Leppich from their playing days, and Brendan Bolton obviously had some pretty good experience under Clarko and then had his own experience as a coach. Not that it was super successful, but he's obviously had the pressures of being a coach and obviously has a decent footy brain. So three pretty good people there to help guide the young fellas. I feel like, which is good, the high-performance guy, obviously, he came from South, didn't he?
No, I think he's come from a different sport.
Yeah, he's come from South Sydney. So completely different game, completely different skill and fitness that you're going to need. But I I'm sure they've obviously done their due diligence and understand, and he understands what it takes to get an AFL club fit. So the proof will be in the pudding there. But so far, you'd have to say just three or four ticks for everyone they've employed. Now, like Mike Tyson said, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. So we'll see when they all get back together and see how they go. But so far, you can't argue that it hasn't been on paper. They're three, four pretty, you know, very good signings. So, yeah, hopefully they can develop them pretty quickly and they can get up the ladder a little bit quicker.
Lots of questions from our listeners. From Mud and Beers, Swanee and Steel Sidebottom seem to slowly becoming the same person.
Oh, exactly.
I think it's a statement, not a question. Your haircut.
I shaved my head. I don't know who's that. That's more of a comment to him or to me.
What would he say?
I don't know. He'd probably say the same thing. We've both got young children, so maybe we are.
Which leads to Guts Armstrong. Whose hairline is worse, Dane or Ralph's? Well, mine's hanging in there particularly from being an elderly gentleman, according to you guys.
Mine's fine too. I'm in no danger of losing it anytime soon. Mm. So I don't know. I guess we both have nice follicles, Ralph, on top of our skin.
You'll like this from Matt. Not a question, but just did some charity work and bought some Bala apparel. You're welcome.
Oh, what a guy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, kind sir.
Now get some shit merch too.
I'll sign a fucking stubby old shrimp.
Exactly. From Snake at Rawlings. Why does it hurt when I pee?
Well, you should get that looked at.
Chlamydia.
Ah.
You just heard what I put on our Insta about the guy who put the
USB
the phone charger up his back.
Oh, fucking idiot.
That's fantastic.
What brings someone to do that?
Sorry, Sam.
No, what brings someone to do dumb shit like that? Like, oh, I might just. It's not like you've looked down.
You're a boy.
You've got something
to play with.
What?
You need to charge it up.
You guys are fucked.
I'm pretty flustered.
From DG, hang on, I'll get this right. From DG Gravy. Did 20 chuck on the fluoros and head down to the CFMEU protest?
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, not yet. But if it's going to get us one day closer to getting out of lockdown, I won't have to put on the high vis.
Yeah,
they're going back at it. They're back at it again today, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think it's finished. Let's take the odds on there.
If he loses them, he'll be in trouble, won't he? Because he pretty much keeps them in power. The union keeps him in power, don't they?
Mm. I would think so. Does Swanee get any feedback from those tweets about Sportsbet from Sean?
Feedback by the general public or feedback by Sportsbet?
Well, who would you be more concerned about?
Yeah, well, obviously my bosses.
people play.
So. We only had to take one down.
I saw that one.
That test.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
Sam, I'll push your eyeballs back in your head there.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad, but
no, it wasn't.
There wasn't. The thing was, Tex Walker's leading the Brownlow after three rounds, and it'd be fair to say there wasn't a lot of chat about it on the coverage.
No, there wasn't. No, he got swept under the carpet. So I just wanted to make sure the good folks knew. Blue skies were ahead, but so the feedback, I haven't had any yesterday or today, but so we, like I said, we sit around, usually we all sit around with all their bosses or the legal person or whoever it is and the content guys, and we just sit around and just talk shit, I don't have prepared tweets, we just sit there and we just watch it and do it like a goggle box, I guess you would call it, and just comment on, and then if someone sort of laughs if I say something half funny or goes, oh, that'll be good, then we just try and work out a way how I'm allowed to say it without
getting sued.
Exactly, yeah. So, but as in feedback, they don't ring me and give me like a letter grade of how good it was, but you know, during the night they'll be like, this tweet's flown, or you know, this tweet's had so many engagements, this one's a good one, so stuff like that, but they don't. They're pretty good. They pretty let myself do my thing, but like I said, I got censored on a lot of Nadia Bartel gags. But yeah, the boss would just be like, nah, that's off limits. The kids are off limits. Not that I was going to fucking bad kids, but I was a couple of nab things. I was like, oh, let's move on, or you know, something to those effects. And they said, no, we can't. But not to say the kids, but I was like, okay, can you send out a tweet saying I'm not allowed to touch the kids? I've been told. And so that obviously wasn't allowed. But I don't get the only feedback I get is immediate if I say something like whatever I want to tweet, and they go, nah, that's I'd love to, but we're not allowed, or things like that. So no feedback the next day, no emails saying what I couldn't work on. Yeah, just real-time feedback, letting me know that this is appropriate or that's inappropriate.
So unlike the normal workforce, when you're doing things like this, there's only one bit of feedback, only one guaranteed piece of feedback. Mm. Are you doing it next year? Mm. So next year, if you see Swanee do it, the feedback's good.
Mm. Well, I think my manager's manager, I think we've just – I haven't signed anything. I think we're signed off for another couple of years with Sportsbet. I hope that's true. Maybe Sunday night I fucked it up for him, but I think I'll be there next couple of years, yeah. So I would imagine I'll be doing it the next couple of years.
I did MC for the AFL for 5 years, I think it was, in a row. With all there's some big games and always tremendously amusing, Sam and Dane. Had some go-to zingers that always worked. And when at the MCG at a big final, and there's an interstate team particularly, you could really do those zingers about how backward Perth is and Adelaide, whatever. So never failed. Anyway, before I think it was 2012 grand final, West Coast are playing, and one of the staff comes up and says, an AFL exec's here and he doesn't like any Perth jokes, so I had to change my entire routine at the very last minute, and couldn't have died a bigger death. And Dane, how many gigs do you think I've done for him since?
I would imagine about as many as a certain required podcaster has done on this podcast for about the last 2 years.
So
what did you go with?
Something shit. I just went to Dr. Google and tried some knock, I don't know if it was knock knock jokes or whatever it was. It just was so bad. But everything had worked for
who was the AFL commissioner? Let's name and shame him.
No, I honestly don't know. I would. But ultimately, it's my fault. I would have been better off getting up there, killing it, and then you know,
they say,
it
afterwards,
They do say
it's easier to ask for forgiveness and permission.
So I know what I did do was shit. So pro tip for any young people on the way up there, yeah, just do your own thing. Sam, have you had horror stories like that as MC, or do you just sort of make him just happy and light and length stuff?
Make him happy. I try and steer clear of that because I want my job the next year, like you said. You know, you've done good if you get asked back again, but. No, I've been around some awkward moments, that's for sure, and it is very cringeworthy.
I had to jump off to vomit one night.
What?
I had to jump off stage to vomit one night.
with Sam?
No, just on my own. Yeah, I was so...
Yeah, but cool. If you pay for Dane's one, you get Dane's one. Yeah, people exactly. Can pay for me as MC.
Absolutely. I did have one really awkward moment, but it wasn't really necessarily my fault. But I think I might have told this on here when it was my first year emceeing with the WWE, and I wasn't sure if obviously we know they have their characters, and one of the wrestlers that had come back for a performance at Rod Laver was Emma, and she was a Melbourne girl. And so my question to her was, you know, are you, I just spoke to her backstage and she was lovely. And then we got on stage and I didn't realize that she was a bit of a bad character, a baddie. And I asked her on stage, oh, how good is it to be home in Melbourne? You know, thinking that's a great question to ask considering the crowd's Melbourne, and they would have clapped and she would have been like, yeah, so great to be home. And she literally just stared at me and then looked off in the distance and was like, what do you think? And gave me full attitude. And I felt so shit. I was so embarrassed. It was the first question. I was like, well, where do we go from here? It wasn't necessarily my fault. It was just embarrassing.
Where did you go? Good question, Dane. Where did you go?
Where did you go?
Not far. It was embarrassing. I was so embarrassed.
Was she nice off? Once she got off?
I didn't get to see her afterwards because they then went off and then went and got ready for the performance. But I was mortified. First question,
was she just being a heel on purpose, or was she just a bitch?
Well, that's what I asked. I asked the people that I was working with. They were like, oh, no, that's just her. But it wasn't her before we got on stage, if that made sense. So I feel like she was just getting into character. But I was – it was yuck. It was a yuck feeling.
From Harpsy, how many days is acceptable to take off work for a premiership win or loss?
How many days would I take off?
What's the acceptable rate, do you think?
Melbourne hasn't been 60 years. What have you been, 60 years?
1964 was the last 57 years.
Oh, you've got to stop. Well, it depends where you live, but obviously Melbourne is. Well, definitely, you definitely have to go back to work to at least Wednesday, Thursday, like just for your average. If you, and depending on how old you are, like if you haven't seen one in your whole life and you're 50, I think you're entitled to have your own little Mad Monday in your home and then a terrible Tuesday. For sure. So then you have then I'd say Wednesday just to get your brain back and get yourself together, and maybe just like a nice lunch just to watch the game again, and then fucking take the whole week off. You deserve it. 6 years. The Bulldogs, on the other hand, they won one what 4 or 5 years ago, so they probably only get the Mad Monday.
Oh.
And the Tuesday to recover, so they get to go back Wednesday. The Melbourne supporters, 60 years, they get the week.
From D. Glover, Dane, do you rate Mark Mercury as a player? Should have won the 99 Brownlow when second to Shane Crawford. I don't know if he should have. He went close.
Yeah, I was obviously very young, so I didn't watch a lot of Essendon. But, yeah, he was pretty good, I think. Yeah, but a lot of people should have won Brownlows as well. A lot of superstars out there that could have been superstars if they, you know, if they were good at football. It's amazing. Come across the mate, I could have been anything. It's just if I learn how to kick, mark, and be able to find the football, I'd be anything.
Well, see, my racing punting phrase is beware the unlucky runner. It's easier to get beaten than it is to win.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with footy, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Okay, so I'm going to read one, two, three. I'm going to read six of these in a row, uncensored, because we try not to censor, right? So here we go.
Am I answering them?
Well, I'll do all six and then you get the gist of it. They're all the same topic.
Oh, okay.
From Andrew. Swanee, are you okay? You don't look well in that photo.
Do you answer it?
No. From Lee, this selfie looks like still side bottom. Good night. From Barb, what happened to your hair? From Rachel, is Dane's hair receding? From Lum, is Dane going bald? And from Viney, Dane, how long are you going to try and hang on to your hair? Feathers are looking a little thin.
So the first one was okay. Oh, I was in a bit of pain. I had a Zoom party that went. I hadn't seen the sunlight in a while, and that was the first time I reckon since before Tate came on. So probably this year, I reckon I'd been up still when the sun came up. So I was in a bit of pain.
When the photo was question.
So to answer your question, am I okay? No, I wasn't. But I had a job to do for SportsFest, so I toughed it out. My cousin actually said I look like Steel too, so they thought I did a face swap with Steel. Secondly, no, I'm not going bald. I'm nowhere near it. And my hairline is still completely normal. And the reason why I shaved my head, I was like, well, I'm not getting a haircut till fuck knows how long, so I can't see anyone. So and then obviously I shaved it on the Saturday. Then they asked me to take a selfie with my with the medals on for sports bet thing. I was like, fucking, I'll just shave me. I was gonna put a beanie on, but I was like, I can't be fucked doing that. So I just by the time I'm allowed out again, my hair will be normal. But I don't really think I don't think it looks too bad. But so they can all get fucked. It was just it was a perfect storm. So I was hungover. I was hurting, and obviously just shaved my head. I've got the scruffy beard because I haven't, like, trimmed that. And I was laying on my couch just feeling sorry for myself.
Very nice. So that's it for us. Are we going to do a grand final one later?
Well, I was wondering, are we going to talk about the grand final? Because I'd love your insight. So we're doing this today?
What should we do on Friday?
Yeah, I'll probably say do a Thursday or Friday where the teams have come out and we can.
Great idea, guys.
Cool.
Giving the people more. Well done.
All right. Well, tune in Friday and we'll do our grand final preview.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.